Test 1. Part 2. You will hear a radio interview. First, you will have 1 minute to read the introduction and the items. Then, you will hear the interview. You will hear the interview only once. Decide if the statement for each of the items is true, plus, or not true, minus, and mark your answers on the answer sheet. Now, you will have 1 minute to read the items.
With me in the studio is Trevor Williams, who was voted the Tour Guide of the Year. Congratulations, Trevor, and thanks for agreeing to do this interview.
I'm glad to be here.
So, where did your love of travel begin?
I've always had a fascination with geography. In fact, my favourite book when I was in primary school was a children's atlas. My family never holidayed abroad, so it was a backpacking trip with some friends one summer when I was about 16 that gave me my first real taste of travel. We hitchhiked around Portugal, exploring castles, churches and monasteries. Being out in the world without our parents meant that we landed in some tricky situations, but somehow we managed to survive on our own. Those adventures made me curious about other cultures, and by the end of that summer, when it was time to return to school, I had realised that I wanted to make a career out of travelling.
Which of those adventures is the most memorable one for you?
Many adventures were memorable, but only one was truly frightening. It started when we decided to visit the 14th century church, the Bom Jesus do Monte. It sits high on a hilltop in the middle of a dense forest. Yet it's not exactly remote. It can be conveniently reached by tram and shuttle bus. We, however, for reasons long forgotten, decided to walk through 6 kilometres of woodland before climbing the long, massive staircase up to the top. While usually full of pilgrims, who stop to pray on their way up, when we got there wasn't a soul around. We enjoyed being able to stop and take photos on the staircase without disturbing others. While admiring the view near the top, we heard someone behind us. Before I could turn round, I felt something sticking into my back, and a man screamed, "Give me all your valuables!"
Oh no, what did you do?
We were so scared that we gave him all our money. But that wasn't enough to get rid of him. He demanded our passports, phones, and credit cards, and I even had to take off my family ring that my granddad had passed on to me.
That was bad luck. How did you cope without your documents during the rest of your trip?
Josh, my friend, suggested reporting the case to the police, so that's what we did. The policeman phoned the British Embassy in Lisbon for us, where we got temporary passports to get us home. Of course, we also had no money, so the embassy informed our parents, who then transferred an amount to a local bank. All's well that ends well, but still, this trip was something I'll never forget.
Are you a qualified tourist guide?
Well, yes, I am. I have a college diploma, and can proudly say that I'm a graduate in tourism and catering. You don't need to be qualified to be a guide, so anyone can earn money this way. But having a qualification is essential if you want to get an assignment that will bring real financial benefits and take you to exciting places.
What did you find the most challenging when you started your career?
Having to cater to the needs of a whole group on your own can be an exhausting task because you never know what kind of emergency will happen next. One day, you have someone who has difficulty walking because his boots have given him a blister, so you have to make an adjustment to your program. The next day, some passengers might get into a fight with each other, which is a different challenge to overcome. Being open to change, being flexible, thinking on your feet are qualities every tour guide should have.
Have you ever had a really difficult client?
Clients, you mean? There are several types of travellers whom I could label as difficult. Firstly, there's the self-centred guy who thinks everything happens just to please him or her. No one else counts. Then the funny guy who takes the bus for a pub and makes seemingly amusing remarks all the time. And then there's the latecomer. Whenever there's an appointment to keep, they're unable to turn up on time. A full busload of people have to wait for the same person over and over again. But they're okay. I still prefer them to the other types. At least you don't have to put up with them non-stop, and they don't spoil the trip for everyone else like a constant complainer does.
You've been a guide for many years. What advice would you give to beginners?
Tour guides are generally people who like to perform. You might have everyone's attention while you're speaking, but don't forget that it's not about you. We're all in the service industry, so it's all about your guests, their needs and their interests. So forget about your ego. The more you can be guest-focused, the more you'll be liked. You have to come across as kind and open-minded, and people will be watching you all the time. So you mustn't underestimate the power of gestures and a friendly face. Lean forward a bit when you talk to your group. Have eye contact with your guests and smile.
I've got one final question for you. How do you see the future of package tours and tour guides?
At its core, travel is all about getting to know other people and exploring new, exciting places. This is such a universal desire that I don't think it'll ever change. We will always travel. I have no doubts about that. But the form we travel in might change. Booking packages that include travel, accommodation, and meals might be popular now, but I think individual travel will become more widespread within the next decade or so, since the spread of low-cost airlines and the constant availability of information on the internet have made organizing trips so much easier.
That's definitely true. Trevor, thanks a lot.
Now, you will have half a minute to check your answers. End of Listening Comprehension, Part 2.